Hello and welcome. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like to focus my attention on Hungary. Hungary is commemorating the 50th anniversary of its uprising against the Russians. If you've ever been to this bustling city on the River Danube, you may have noticed the pockmarks of bullet holes in its great buildings, left there as a reminder of a 50-year-old national trauma. The 1956 Hungarian Revolution, which was brutally crushed by the then Soviet Union. As you may recall, for 45 years, Hungary was under the grip of that communist regime. Yet, in 1956, Hungarians courageously tried to topple their Soviet masters. The struggle did not last long, only from the 23rd of October to the 4th of November. But it's an event which has often been referred to as the first attempt to draw the so-called Iron Curtain then in place across Eastern Europe. And indeed, for a few euphoric days, it even appeared the uprising against the might of what was then the world's second superpower might succeed. Particularly symbolic to me of that period is that image of the toppling of the great statue of Stalin, depicted in a black and white photograph of the time, where the grey stone head of the dictator lies solitary on the tram tracks of a Budapest street. You may well have seen it. But anyway, hope to regain freedom was short-lived, and reality hit back hard at the cost of more than 3,000 dead, with thousands more fleeing the nation in search of a better future. It happened suddenly, less than 2 weeks since the beginning of the uprising. As headlines on the front page of Britain's Daily Mail on November the 5th of that year testify, I'd like to read you the first lines of that article.
Budapest crushed. Red troops storm into Parliament. Hungary, the little country that dared to defy Russia, was murdered today. More than 1,000 tanks surrounded Budapest. Soviet soldiers stormed into Parliament buildings after the Premier had just broadcast to the world an agonized call for help, marching him out at gunpoint.
In the light of these dramatic events, you may wonder how the Vatican reacted, whether the Pope of the time, Pius XII, spoke out at all. Well, I did a little research and was astonished to find out that during those 2 weeks of struggle, the Pontiff wrote three encyclicals. I'll read you the surprising sequence of dates. 28th of October, 5 days into the uprising, an encyclical by the Latin title of Luctuosissimi Eventus is promulgated. 1st of November, 8 days into the uprising, an encyclical by the Latin title Letemur ad modum is promulgated. 5th of November, on the very day of the crackdown on the part of the Soviet troops, the encyclical Datis Nuperime is promulgated. Hungarian-born Benedictine father Adam Somorjai, currently working at the Vatican Secretariat of State, tells us more about these encyclicals.
During these 2 short weeks, Pope Pius XII published 3 encyclicals. In the first, he invites the Christian world to the prayer for the Hungarian, and not only for the Hungarian.
Let's read briefly from that encyclical.
Our paternal heart is deeply moved by the sorrowful events which have befallen the people of Eastern Europe, and especially of our beloved Hungary, which is now being soaked in blood by a shocking massacre. And not only is our heart moved, but so too are the hearts of all men who cherish the rights of civil society, the dignity of man, and the liberty which is due to individuals and to nations. May all men come to realize that today's unsettled international order cannot be stabilized by an armed might, which brings many to their death, nor by that violence inflicted upon citizens, which is powerless to compel their inner assent, nor by those deceitful fictions which corrupt the mind and are as repugnant to the rights of a civic and Christian conscience as they are to the rights of the Church. Nor can the breath of just freedom ever be extinguished by external force.
In the second, he speaks about his joy that the revolution has success. And in the third, again, after the fall of the revolution, he speaks in Christian terms, is an invitation to the prayer again for all the Christian world. What the Pope says is directed to all the Christian and all the people of good will. In Hungary for 33 years was silence publicly about these encyclicals, and only after the Annus Mirabilis 1989 we could speak about this.
But Pope Pius XII didn't just write encyclicals. At a time when popes were not often heard on radio, he also made an appeal to put an end to the bloodshed. He did so over the airwaves, through the microphones of our radio station.
Dio vi aiuterà, Dio sarà la vostra forza. Dio, 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 risuoni questo ineffabile nome.
Speaking in Italian, he said, "May the name of God, fount of all rights, justice and freedom, echo once again in Parliament, in the streets, at home and in the workplace, on the lips of intellectuals and workers, in the press and on radio."
Sulla stampa e alla radio, il nome di Dio come sinonimo di pace e di libertà sia il vessillo degli uomini di buon volere. Il vincolo dei popoli e delle nazioni, il segno in cui si riconosceranno i fratelli e i collaboratori dell'opera della Chiesa.
And 50 years after Pius XII's radio message to the Hungarian people, our present Pope, Benedict XVI, is sending his representative, or legate, in the person of the former Secretary of State, Cardinal Angelo Sodano, to this nation's capital, Budapest, in an effort to celebrate a date linked forever to freedom from the iron grip of the Soviet Union. It's the 23rd of October, a date symbolically chosen for the proclamation of the Republic of Hungary. Back in 1989, as the so-called Iron Curtain was finally drawn right across Eastern Europe. Chosen precisely to coincide with that of the beginning of the 1956 October Uprising. I hope you enjoyed this feature focusing on the Hungarian uprising of 1956. My thanks go to those who made this programme possible, in particular Hungarian-born Benedictine Father Adam Somorjai, who is currently working at the Vatican's Secretariat of State, our Hungarian programme here at Vatican Radio, and Sean Patrick Lovett and Edward Penton, whose voices you also heard. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.